Hello, Julia.
Stephen, how nice to see you. Come in.
What a nice place you've got here.
Of course, you haven't seen it before, have you? And you certainly haven't seen my little Binky. Binky, come and say hello to Uncle Stephen. Binky, that's not very friendly, darling.
Let's say, what's the matter with him, Julia? Is he ill?
No. He's always like this.
But he looks so miserable.
It's nothing unusual. This road is full of unhappy dogs.
There is an excerpt from No Trees in the Street. Now that in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those who want a bit of light relief, why not sit in the dark? That, I'm afraid, will give you some idea of what to expect from a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Johann Sebastian Bart, the House of Commons Maypole Dancers, Miss Felicity Flypaper.
Oh, this duck on her.
Continue. Vanessa Squatter, the High Lama of Leamington Spa, and of course it's Kenneth Hall, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall.
Hello, welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that has set everyone talking. Well, they say that while they're talking, they can't hear it, you see? Well, now, I was going to talk to you about foreign affairs, but I've never had an affair with anyone foreign. So instead, let me tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I joined a party on a conducted tour of a monastery. And my biggest surprise came when we were going round the grounds. The noise was shocking. Never heard so many pianos playing in a monastery garden. And in the kitchen, I came across a monk keeping an eye on some potatoes sizzling in a pan. So I went up to him and asked him if he was a friar. And he said,
"No, I'm a chipmunk."
On Wednesday, I was doing my usual crossword puzzle when I came across a word that wasn't in my dictionary. So I rang up a friend who's an authority on words, but unfortunately, he'd gone away for a long spell. On Thursday, well, I have to confess that one of my weaknesses is antiques. So on Thursday, I decided to browse round one of my local shops.
Welcome to Arthur Figley and Sons Antiques. Not us, of course, the goods.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Figley.
Oh, it's Mr. Owen. Oh, a real connoisseur. Yes, well, he knows what he wants. But what sort of thing are you looking for?
Oh, nothing in particular. Just anything that catches my eye.
Oh,
I say, Figley, that's a nice tall boy.
Yes, my son Norman. Say hello! Say hello to Mr. Owen.
Hello, sir.
He knows his stuff, does my Norm. Yeah, see that beautifully covered chair of a sort of muddy brown?
Yeah.
Norm did that himself, in that muddy brown.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good Rococo design.
Yeah. I spilled a cupful all over it.
You may know your antiques, but leave the jokes to your dad. Go on, run along! No. Polish that chiffonier.
What exactly is a chiffonier?
It's a tall thing with drawers.
Dad!
Now look there! Now, Mr. Owen, feast your mince pies on this exquisite item. A French wardrobe known as Amour.
Figley, even I know that's armoire. It has nothing to do with amour.
You don't know French wardrobe. Oh, no, nipping in and out they was. Mr. Orne, I've just thought of the very thing. You'll fancy this all right. Now, is that not a really beautiful piece?
It certainly is. It's Jill Day. Jill.
It's you or no one. It's now or never. If you are no one, I'm yours forever. It's you or no one for me. I'm sure of this. Each time we kiss, now and forever, and when forever's through, to find that I'm the one for you. Please don't say no to my plea, 'cause if you do, then I'm all through. There's this about you, my world's an empty world without you. It's you or no one, it's now or never. It's you or no one, I'm yours forever. And there's this about you, my world's an empty world without you. It's you or no one for me.
Jolly nice, Jill.
Yes, thank you, Miss Day. And here you are, genuine Ming vase.
Oh, thank you, Fig Leaf. That's what I like about this place, Ken. You can get things for a song.
Don't you start as well.
But cheerio, Jill, cheerio. Now look, Fig Leaf.
What's this?
Ah, the actual hot water bottle belonging to Henry the Eighth. Hardly used. No? Oh, you don't like it. Well, there's a very fine cuisine glass. That's the property of King Charles II.
Oh, yes, yes. That's interesting, isn't it? I could put that on my mantelpiece as a reminder of that rollicking, roistering restoration period when all the S's were written as F's.
Yes, it must have been smashing.
The England of Charles and Nell Gwynn. You know, looking through this quizzing glass, one can almost see it.
We present the restoration piece, or has anyone here seen Nelly?
England, 1666, a period of conflict with the narrow-minded Puritan, watchful and ever critical of the bawdy, vulgar masses. Rather like our producer and us.
But who better to relate events than the period's most famous diarist?
Samuel Pepys. That's why my diaries were so interesting. Oh, yes, in my time I was a regular little Mrs. Dale. Let me read you some sample entries. Tuesday, November the 7th, did hie me to a coffee house with the Lady Trumpingham, there to indulge in earnest chit-chat. Soon to discover the Lady Trumpingham was no lady. She kept blowing froth all over me quill pen. Thursday the 9th, did hie me once more, which was a change from hie me doing me. Saturday the 11th, betook myself to the King's Theatre, Drury Lane. In the Royal Box did espy King Charles II in the company of his financial adviser, Clarendon. They appeared to be sharing confidences.
Yeah, Clary, got that saucy wench in the second row of the stall.
Your Majesty, please. Such a vulgar hussy is to be looked down on.
What do you think I'm doing? Give me one of those soft centers.
Your Majesty! Your Majesty, I must insist you desist. Look at her, the common, unkempt, disheveled, bedraggled slut. She looks like the ruin that Cromwell knocked him out of it.
Clarendon, I do not care what people think. They're all my friends here. We often exchange pleasantries. See, there is the Duchess of Dorchester. Hello, Maud! Ah, what about last Tuesday, eh?
I think you up there in the Royal Box.
Yes.
Hello, Charles.
Hello, Rodney.
Titus Oates and Lord Buckingham. Titus the Newt.
Your Majesty. Your Majesty, I beseech you.
Oh, don't be such a spoilsport. Get that privy purse open. I fancy an orange.
Only if you promise not to spit the pips at the actresses.
All right, I promise. King's honor.
Hey there, you with a tray of oranges. Here comes the wench.
Stab me vitals, what a wench. A comely wench. Oh, a most comely wench. A wench most passing fair. Oh.
All right, all right. Don't do it, thy nuts.
Oranges! Sweet oranges! How about a nice juicy Jaffa gaffer?
Insolent wretch, this is Les Majesty.
Watcher, Les. My name's Nelly, Nell Gwynn. But you can call me as often as you like.
Come here, Nell. I likest a wench with spirit. Thou hast something in which I am interested.
They're tuppence each.
In that case, I shall purchase your whole tray of oranges. Step me, she has appeal.
Beware, Your Majesty. She is a flirty young woman.
Who careth? I'm a flirty old man.
King Charles, you are a one.
No, actually, I'm a two. My father was a one.
Well, I like you, Charlie. Thou art a merry old monarch with a saucy twinkle in your eye. And, oh, what lovely, long, curly black hair.
Now you know why I didn't play that part.
Come, Nelly, you shall join my court.
Oh, Charlie, come over here.
Oh, Nell, life is so good with you.
Your Majesty.
Oh, here he is, the great plague of London. What is it now, Clarendon?
That's about the fire of London, sire. The people are saying it was caused by you and Mistress Gwynn.
Oh, how?
A careless match.
Oh. Very witty. Thou shalt have an equally witty retort. Where is my writer, John Dryden?
Your Majesty, pen poised at the ready.
I wish a witty riposte for Mr. Clarendon.
How about shut your gob?
Excellent! Clarendon, shut your gob.
And if it pleases Your Majesty, wouldst thou care for a punch up the brackets?
Dryden?
Clarendon, who's your writer?
Never mind. Has written anything good lately?
Yes, Your Majesty, I penned a poem to the Mistress Gwynn.
Then let us see.
Follow me, it is written upon the wall.
Well, I must take my leave.
Ah, now don't go, Mr. Clarendon. Why not dilly-dally for the nonce?
No, madam, I am not interested in the nonce. It does not make sense.
Then dilly-dally for some nonsense.
You forget I'm a roundhead.
If you ask me, you're a bit of a square. Oh, come on, Clary. Try a kiss.
But I've just told you, I'm a roundhead.
Come on now. Well?
Up the Cavaliers!
So was Nellie Gwynn finally accepted at court. She was treated well, and although Charles had many other acquaintances, Nellie was always number one on his Miss Parade. Then, in the fateful year of 1685...
me friends, me days are numbered. I wish to speak with my successor. Where is my illustrious brother James, upon whose noble, splendid brow my kingly crown shall rest? James, where art thou?
Here I am. And I heard you was going.
My reign is over, James.
Yeah, you have been hanging out, haven't you? You've been a right Charlie, haven't you?
James, I have a last request to make.
Then did Charles speak the immortal word.
Concerning the Mistress Gwynne, wilt thou expend thy wealth and affection?
And back came the immortal reply.
Not on your Nelly.
And now, strap me vitals, it's the Fraser Hayes Four.
Can John Peel with his coat so gay? Do you can John Peel at the break of day? Do you can John Peel when he's far, far away? With his hounds and his horn in the morning. The sound of his horn brought me from my bed. The cry of his hounds which he all times led. Peel's new halloo would awaken the dead. Or a fox from his lair in the morning. Check to a view, from a view to a death in the morning. Do you ken John Peel with his coat so gay? He lived at Trafec once on a day. Now he has gone far, far away. We shall ne'er hear his voice in the morning, for the sound of his horn, the cry of his hounds, Peel's new halloo would awaken the dead or a fox from his lair.
But when Johnny blows his horn, that old fox is really gone.
For the sound of his horn brought me from my bed. The cry of his hounds, which he oft-times led. For Peel's new halloo would awaken the dead. For a fox from his lair in the morning.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on homes and gardens. Are there perfect sites for the new houses?
Or are the new houses perfect sites? Well, now, first of all, let's talk to a well-known architect. And the names are?
Stanley Birkin, sure. I'm also A-R-I-C-S, which, Chartered Surveyor, of course.
Yes. I see. Now, I believe you actually built your own house.
That is so, yes. Most desirable residence in the most sought-after position, which I had designed to my own specifications. on a split level.
Now, can you give us any details about the house?
Yes, of course. It has several exceptional features, such as a sunny, spacious room, superbly constructed open staircases, concealed central heating, a well-stocked wine cellar, a vast array of labor-saving devices, and sumptuously furnished throughout with, of course, the usual offices.
Well, it sounds delightful. Now, tell me, sir, what do you consider its most important feature?
Well, speaking for myself personally, the one aspect of the house that is an absolute necessity is something structural.
Oh, what's that?
An extra special damp cost.
Now, here's a lady. Madam, now, whereabouts do you live?
How dare you ask me an impertinent question like that? I have you now. I'm a perfectly respectable girl of 18 Shakespeare Villas, Bromley Park. Telephone number.
Yes, thank you. Now we're privileged to meet a remarkable old gentleman. Good evening, sir. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Rose. And thank you for asking me to come up here.
Yes.
Tonight.
Well, now then, sir, where do you live?
I'm very fortunate, to have living accommodation at my own place of work.
Oh, I see that.
Yes.
And what do you do then?
I'm a caretaker at the Art Virginia Health and Nature Camp.
Health and nature, eh? That means, I suppose, that everybody...
Oh, yes! Oh, yes! Every day is a birthday. They all are running around.
Yes, I'm sorry. Oh,
oh,
oh.
Well,
apart from all that, I suppose it's very peaceful on the camp.
Oh, yes, it's nice and quiet. No.
Good.
Cozy, it gets a bit noisy sometimes when anyone happens to sit down on a marble seat.
Well, now, it must be a very interesting job being a caretaker in this sort of place. How about the money?
The 35 bob a week.
Well, that's not very much.
No, it's all I could afford.
Let us now turn to gardens. For most of us, a beautiful garden can bring pleasure and relaxation. Among the many ornamental aids to a pretty garden, I've always been fascinated by those little gnome figures. And I've often wondered, if they were able to speak, what would they say?
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up sitting out here on this toadstool year after year.
It's all right for you. What about me perched on the edge of a lily pond with a great fat frog creeping all over me?
Yes. Who do you think he is? We knew him when he was just a tadpole.
Oh, you got bitter, Rodder.
Well?
Ever since that gardener knocked you over, you've had a chip on your shoulder. Mm-hmm. You ought to see a pixie catcher.
I know. I know, all right. I'm not in the best of health.
I say, look out. Look, here he comes again.
Together in sorrows and Zero, zero, zero. Oh, them gnomes look a bit dirty. I'll have to give them.
Oh, silly old fool, did you hear that?
Yes. I suppose it means we're going to get hosed down again.
Honestly, every time he does that, he makes my paint run.
Well, let's face it, Rodders, you have let yourself go a bit. I mean, look at your beard, it's effing filthy.
I can't help it, him and his bonfires.
Still, after all, you're not quite such good quality as I am.
What do you mean?
Well, this may come as a bit of a shock to you, Rod, but, you're alabaster.
I'm not.
You are? And that's not all. You should see what's printed across the bottom of you.
What? Made in Japan.
Finally, we turn once more to our panel of experts in Hornorama who are ready to discuss a random question on this week's topic. Top of the table, Zalcolm Ditheridge.
Good evening.
And under the table, playwright Seamus O'Toole.
Hey, give us a hand up, someone!
Next to him, our guest for this week, Counselor Frieda Winchbody, J.P.
How do you do?
And lastly, our friend from the countryside, Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, Mother Autumn has girded up her skirts of brown and thrown a mantle.
Yes, thank you very much, indeed. Well, now that's our panel, and so to this week's question on homes, which comes from...
Grenville Crook. Does the architect-designed house of today favor practicality rather than comfort?
Well, thank you, Mr. Grenville Crook. A tool.
Yes!
Would you care to elaborate? would you care to elaborate?
All right, then, no!
Yes, well, what the questioner is obviously getting at here is bathrooms. Why are they so ridiculously small? Makes me quite cross. I think anyone who has stepped out of a bath and back straight into the door is entitled to fly off the handle.
Well, you know, I always sing in my bath.
Yes, I think we all do.
But I have to. There's no lock on the door. See, I must agree, I certainly like to languish in a bath twice the average size. That's what I'd like to see.
I'd like to see that too!
I beg your pardon.
Look, Fallowfield, what are your views on this?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. I mean, we country folk believe in good, clean living.
What about your bathroom?
Oh, we haven't got one. But you know, that's half the fun. On a Friday night, I go out into the old barn and step into a great barrel of rainwater.
Good gracious, are you suggesting we all do that sort of thing?
Why not? This could be you pampering yourself with fabulous yellow carbolic.
I think we've rather digressed. Now, we're talking about private houses.
Why? What's the matter with public houses? Pull down the office blocks and put up the pubs. Get them in the
pubs. Miss Winchbody, what is your view?
Well, from my front window, I can see right across the downs.
All right, never mind. I think we better bring this discussion to an end. And so I say,
just a moment. You haven't answered my question. I want to know.
Now, why don't you shut your cake hole? No.
I say, look
out. What's wrong with you? Let's get hold of him, chap. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. No. Hey, one, two, three.
Well, that seems to have disposed of this week's question. And the questioner, too. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be dentists, are they always down in the mouth? Also, in next week's program, we shall be having some readings by a gas inspector. And there'll be an excerpt from the new film starring Burt Lancaster and Charlton Heston and called The Western Brothers Story. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought, which comes from a boys' school in Chichester. Is the center of the soap powder industry on the Isle of Wight?
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Jill Day, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Berriman wrote the script, and the show is produced by Jake Sprouse.